From Wondery, I'm Virginia Madsen, and this is Little Stories Everywhere. Each episode, we'll bring you stories for kids that spark the imagination, take you to other worlds, and bring joy. This story is called Aunt Prue, Super Sleuth.
Grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Hey, grown-ups, do you ever want to whisk your family away on a fun and exhilarating adventure? What if we helped you make it a possibility every single week? And from the comfort of your home, car, or wherever you are. It's the Cat in the Hat Cast, a weekly podcast presented by our partners at Purina. Your pet, our passion. Fill your week with sing-alongs, laughter, and a pinch of mayhem as you spend time with the oh-so-mischievous Cat in the Hat and his cautious pal, Fish. Tune in with the whole family, including your furriest friends, because when we spend time together, the fun never ends. You'll never guess what surprises the Cat in the Hat will pull out of his hat next. Follow the Cat in the Hat Cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even though it was the middle of the summer, the wind off the water in Salina, Massachusetts was cold. Angeline had just turned 11 the day before. She had dark, curly hair and intense, thoughtful eyes. She stood wrapped up tightly in her windbreaker and jeans next to her 9-year-old sister, Emma, whose long black hair whipped in the wind.
Mom, why do Emma and I have to spend the end of the summer vacation here with some boring old lady we don't even know?
Angeline, Dad and I have an important archaeological dig. We can't be looking out for you and Emma.
But I promise, Aunt Prue is never boring.
Dad called out from the car.
Our flight leaves in an hour.
Mom gave them each a kiss and left the sisters on the porch. Angeline was determined not to cry. So instead, she made a decision.
Emma, let's make a promise. We won't do anything Aunt Prue says the whole time we're here. We'll be so awful that she'll have to send us to be with Mom and Dad.
Do you really think that's a good idea, Angeline?
Angeline rang the doorbell, smiling devilishly.
I think it's a great idea.
Just then, the door opened and a small bright red chicken with little yellow spots bolted past the girls, squawking loudly into the garden.
Grab that bird!
And there she was, Aunt Prue. Angeline had never seen anyone like her. She wore sparkly rhinestone glasses, a dark shawl, a polka dot dress, and pointy red boots. Like a flash, Aunt Prue captured her feathered friend and was back on the doorstep, petting the chicken, who gave a disgruntled cluck.
You must be Angeline, and you're Emma.
Well, you got us mixed up. I'm Emma, and she's Angeline.
Mildred told me so, and I didn't listen. I'm sorry, Millie, you were right. As always.
The chicken squawked in approval.
Your chicken's name is Mildred?
Of course. What else would you name a chicken? Now follow me inside, girls. We have a chocolate cake to make for dinner.
Don't you mean dessert?
I do not. This is my house, and we are having cake for dinner. That will be that.
Aunt Prue turned on her heel and marched Mildred back into the house. Emma and Angeline exchanged a look. This was not what they were expecting.
I bet you can't say no to cake.
This is all just to make us like her, but it won't work.
After dinner, Emma was so full of chocolate cake she could barely breathe. But Angeline hadn't touched hers. She pushed it around with a fork and tried to look disinterested.
Well, girls, time for dessert. Munch's Ice Cream Parlor has the best rocky road.
Angeline forced a frown.
I'm tired and I want to stay home.
Then, I guess we'll have to solve the mystery without you.
Aunt Prue grabbed her keys with a flourish and plopped Mildred into a purse with a squawk. Emma couldn't contain herself. Angeline did her best to keep her excitement under wraps by counting kitchen tiles.
What mystery?
Aunt Prue's eyes sparkled as she told them.
The biggest, grandest house in all of Salina, Massachusetts for over 200 years was owned by two extravagant people, Mary and Richard San Pietro. They traveled the world doing what they loved, drinking champagne and eating the finest food. When they died, they'd spent their entire fortune. In their will, they left their daughter Lita only two things: a house and a single diamond.
Angeline was on the edge of her seat, but trying her best to look bored.
A diamond?
Aunt Prue leaned in close. You see, Lita's great-grandmother, Marguerite, was given the diamond over 150 years ago as an engagement present from a Danish prince, Prince Claude.
Boring. They got married, so what?
Aunt Prue grinned.
But they didn't get married. Marguerite left Prince Claude Johansson and married a young man named Raphael San Pietro instead. But she kept the diamond, and it's been in the family ever since. Well, until last week.
Last week?
Said Emma.
Lita recently decided to turn the house into a museum to honor her family. There was a huge party planned to celebrate the opening with the San Pietro diamond on display. And it was stolen.
We have to figure out who took it.
Exactly. Angeline, you're welcome to join us.
Angeline shrugged. She was still determined to have a bad time. No mystery or cake or diamond could change that.
I don't want to be alone in this creaky old house, but I'm not solving any mysteries.
They walked towards town, with Angeline dragging behind them, kicking pebbles. Then they saw in the distance the San Pietro house. It sat on a big hill looming above the sea.
Someone lived there?
A shiver went up Angeline's spine.
A few people still do. Shall we look for clues? I don't think the police looked in the right place.
As they got closer, they could see the house was falling apart. The roof was sliding. The paint was peeling, and the big, menacing gargoyles were covered in vines. Aunt Prue didn't seem fazed. She put on a fresh coat of bright pink lipstick, smacked her lips together, and asked,
Emma, are you good at climbing trees?
But Angeline answered,
she's scared of heights. I can do it so that Emma doesn't have to.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Angeline. I promise it will be no fun.
In a moment, Angeline was halfway up a pine tree while Emma searched through the flower bed. Angeline called out from high up in the branches,
there's a piece of torn clothing up here.
Angeline waved a small piece of cobalt blue fabric like a tiny flag.
Well done, Angeline. Bring it down, Emma. You'll be our scribe and write down our clues.
And there's a footprint on the windowsill all the way up here, 20 feet off the ground.
Aunt Prue pulled Mildred out of her purse to dig through her bag. She removed a hairdryer, three pieces of bubblegum, a wooden spoon, a live snail, and then an old notebook.
Only bring the essentials. Ah, and this is my clue notebook. I've used it for years. I've solved hundreds of mysteries in this town, and now it's your turn.
Emma smiled wide.
and even Angeline couldn't hide her excitement.
They tucked the fabric into Aunt Prue's bag and plopped Mildred right on top. Emma whispered to Angeline, "Seems like you're having a little fun."
"Well, I don't want your summer to be ruined, so I'll have some fun for you."
"Thanks, Angeline."
As they made their way to Munch's parlor, Aunt Prue explained,
"You see, girls, Mr. Munch knew the family. He might have an idea of who the thief could be."
They arrived at the shop, painted with red and white peppermint stripes, and a counter covered in chocolates and lollipops that stretched the whole length of the store.
"Hello, Mr. Munch. 3 rocky roads, please. And a worm cone for the lady."
She gestured to Mildred inside her purse, who made a satisfied cluck. Mr. Munch was a tall man with a tiny mustache.
"And who are these young ladies?"
"These are my great nieces. They're detectives, you know. And Angeline is a super tree climber."
Angeline blushed.
"Were you there the night the diamond was stolen?"
"I was. I catered the party and cleaned up after."
"Do you know why someone might want to steal it?"
I've got nothing against the family, but they never paid my mother for the last year she worked there. She was loyal, though. I wonder who else they didn't pay."
Emma scribbled everything down as they walked outside.
"It could be Mr. Munch. He was cleaning up and could have stashed the diamond away with his kitchen supplies. Maybe he stole it for his mother."
"Angeline, a fabulous observation.
But what about the fabric and the tree and the footprints way high up?
Mr. Munch didn't need to climb a tree to get inside.
He was invited," said Emma.
A very good question."
Angeline's face dropped. Emma was right.
What about the fabric and the tree?
And the footprints? Back at home, Angeline and Emma snuggled into twin beds. Aunt Prue came in to turn out the light, saying,
"Tomorrow, to the museum again, super sleuths. Good night. Don't let the bedbugs dance the polka in your dreams."
Aunt Prue closed the door.
"She's so weird."
"Yeah, good weird," said Angeline.
The next morning, they went to visit the museum and were greeted by the tour guide, Deacon. He ushered them in with a toothy grin and a French accent that sounded suspiciously fake. But no one dared comment on it. The front hall, covered with tapestries and marble columns, echoed with every footstep.
"Welcome, bienvenue to the San Pietro House Museum."
Deacon knew everything about the house, and he showed them beautiful artwork, sculptures, and even secret doors that looked like bookshelves.
"Deacon, you're a wonderful storyteller. You must have been on the stage in another life."
I wish to have been an actor, but the closest I got was an acrobat.
But I've had a million jobs. I've been a painter, an electrician, a dog walker, and even a fishmonger. All the world's a stage if you let it be."
Emma interrupted.
"Where were you when the diamond theft happened?"
"I live in the basement, so I went down right after the party. Annie, Lita's secretary, saw me bolt the door. Didn't want any party guests to wander in by mistake."
Annie. Another clue for the notebook. Just then, a young woman with wild hair and a bright green dress rounded the corner and almost collided with the group.
"Ah, visitors, welcome.
Deacon, why aren't you wearing your uniform?"
"A little rip on the cuff. I'll get it back in shipshape soon enough, Madame Pietro."
The young woman turned quickly.
"Hello, I'm Lita San Pietro. Are you enjoying the museum?"
"We're investigating your diamond robbery," said Angeline.
They're quite thorough."
"Where were you after the party, Miss Pietro?"
"I went straight up to my room.
Annie can tell you that, wherever she is.
Annie brings me my tea every night. Lita checked her watch. Annie, we're late.
Lita skittered out the front door, and Annie, a slim woman in a gray dress and gigantic glasses, hurried after. But Emma stopped her.
Excuse me, Annie. One question before you leave.
Annie turned, like a jumpy, terrified mouse.
Yes?
After the party, did you see Deacon lock his door?
Yes, and he didn't come out all night.
I sleep in the next room, and I'm a light sleeper. With that, Annie scuttled after Lita.
That girl, très odd. She started here before the diamond was stolen. Coincidence?
Emma scribbled everything down. Very odd indeed. At the red breakfast table the next morning, Emma and Aunt Prue discussed their notes over eggs and a plump worm for Mildred, of course. They had two clues and three suspects. Angeline listened closely.
Well, I think it's Mr. Munch or Annie. They're the only ones around the building when the diamond was stolen. Annie could have stolen it before she delivered the tea. Munch could have snagged it while cleaning up.
Emma scrunched her face, lost in thought.
But what about Deacon?
He was in his room all night.
Angeline's eyes got wide.
What color was Deacon's uniform?
Emma flipped through her notes but came up empty.
Oh, we don't know. We never saw him in it. Why?
Angeline quickly dug through Aunt Prue's purse and pulled out a piece of torn fabric. Aunt Prue picked up the phone and confirmed with Lita that, yes, the museum tour guide uniform was cobalt blue. Angeline grabbed the phone from Aunt Prue. She asked Lita, did Deacon leave today?
Why, yes, he's taking a train to see his sister just for the weekend, I think.
Check his room. I bet he took everything. He has the diamond.
The police arrived just in time to stop the train. The passengers watched, leaning their heads out of windows as the police checked Deacon's pockets and quickly found a small box. Inside it was the San Pietro diamond.
Without a hint of a French accent, Deacon screeched, "That belongs to my family! I am Prince Claude's great-great-grandson. The diamond is rightfully ours."
Lita arrived just in time to hear the confession. She couldn't believe her eyes as Deacon was put into the back of a police car. Angeline retrieved the diamond and handed it to Lita.
"I believe this belongs to you."
Lita turned to Aunt Prue in shock.
"How did you know?"
"That was all my great nieces. Quite good detectives. Angeline, would you tell us how you figured it out?"
"Based on the clues, Deacon used his skills as an acrobat to climb out of his window, up the tree, and back into the museum. Annie never heard him leave the room because he didn't leave through the door, which is why he left a footprint on the windowsill. He ripped his jacket as he was climbing, which left a little piece of it in the tree.
And Emma's amazing note-taking helped us remember every detail.
Being a sleuth runs in our family, girls. I heard a rare book was stolen from a bookshop. Might we give that case a whirl? And then ice cream?"
Mildred peeped her head out of her bag with an excited, "Ah!" Angeline and Emma nodded. This wouldn't be such a bad summer after all. From Wondery, this is Little Stories Everywhere. This is Aunt Prue, Super Sleuth, written by Kate Villa. I'm your host, Virginia Madsen. Brian White is our associate producer, audio assistance by Sergio Enriquez. This episode is sound designed by Aaron May. Our story editor is Matt Wise. Our senior producer is Sochi Dorsey. Executive producers are Janine Cornelow, Stephanie Jens, and Marshall Louis for Wondery.